Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, is my good friend and partner in crime, Rob Langevin. Rob, I feel like it's important to start the show with this statement. Have your lineup set on Thursday night. Matches will happen on Friday. Do not be one of the sheeple being misled by the media. No, but seriously, make sure you have your stuff set Thursday. If you want to tinker Friday morning, go ahead, but tinker within your team. Have it set Thursday night. Yeah. Don't be somebody that accidentally doesn't save their latest draft, and then the first match happens, and then you're screwed and have to wild card early. Just get it done. Be sure you're done on Thursday.
This is your healthy reminder. Do not go crazy at Thursday happy hour and forget to do stuff Friday morning. This is a reminder from the FPL Roundtable. There is no further follow-up to any, you know, reminder. So you're welcome. Welcome to the show.
This has been a public service announcement. All right. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, that warning, that fire and brimstone-y speech from us, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited. You know, it's three days to go. It's been a hectic and run ragged Rob preseason here, you know, running around because baseball's still in session, so I'm getting calluses. Spaceballs is on.
Yeah, your Schwartz is all tuckered out.
Yeah. I wanna rewind when now is then, you know. It's a joke lost on everybody. If everybody got it, cool.
One to five people are losing their crap right now.
But when will now be then? Soon.
Nice. But yeah, everything's good, as you say, both of us.
We're good.
Losing our minds.
We're fully in depth. We're thumbs deep in FPL knowledge, you know, across all formats. You know, official game, Playtaga. Big shout out. Thank you, Fantrax, for hosting this. They have a format as well you can use. I'm eagerly awaiting the fantasy season to arrive on or about 1945 Eastern Standard Time on Friday, August 11th.
Yeah.
That's it.
Cool. So, it's obviously going to be a busy show because of the impending deadlines and then obviously match week one. But first, we obviously have some transfers to get to. We'll just run through each of these. I'll just spit out a name and some stats, and you let me know what you think about them. First, we have Richarlison? Richarlison. How a Frenchman would maybe not even pronounce that Brazilian name. But he comes from Fluminense, is headed to Watford, seems to be filling that Niang role. 5 goals, 3 assists in 14 matches. Do you care?
No. I mean, Watford is not very... a place I'm looking for anybody offensively from or defensively to for that matter until, you know, Marco Silva, you know, touches everything and turns it into a defensive goal. With Deeney out for week one, I don't even think Richarlison is going to be in the fray. I think he's too young to even feature for a while. I think he's going to, you know, build up his steam and momentum for the Hornets. But I'm not looking forward to much from Watford right now. On paper right now, they are dreary at best. They have cool uniforms, but other than that, dreary at best for game week one, at least.
Wait, are they the one where their third kit is just Middlesbrough's kit from last year?
Yeah, it's basically.
Good. next up, kind of more of a known quantity. We have Bruno Martins-Indy allegedly flying into for his medical tomorrow at Stoke.
Oh, yeah.
Hype. They already have Zuma. I mean, that could be a pretty dangerous pairing there.
Yeah, I tried to throw a little Bruno Mars in there. A little, yeah.
What is the...
When you play defense and it's Bruno's Martin Indy.
I'm too hot. Hot damn. Call the police and the fireman.
He officially is the first person to perform at the Super Bowl halftime show and make an appearance in the Premier League. So, congratulations.
That's a fact, probably.
It's a fact. I mean, I think that he could probably carve out first team capabilities there. Stoke has some, ragged guys on defense. I mean, just look at who they have. Shawcross, Peters, Johnson, Cameron, Muniesa.
Zuma. Although it does look like Muniesa is on the way out.
Yeah, he's going to be on.
To Girona.
Yeah. Defensively, there's nobody there that's standing out. So Bruno's Martin Indy could carve out a first team, place there. They're all basically interchangeable Lego parts that are just a different color here because, if you lose one part, it doesn't really affect anything because I don't think anybody is really rostering anybody on Stoke's defense right now. Kurt Zuma is currently the most owned rosterable player from Stoke on defense at 2.6%, and his price tag is 5.5, so that's scaring a lot of people off. Everybody else is 5.0 or below. Indy will probably come in at probably 5.0 because that's what Shawcross and Peters are. I'm not expecting much from Stoke this year. They are not going to be – basically, if they finish one spot near Watford, I'd probably say that's probably about right.
Yeah. Next up, we have a really interesting one. We have Lamina coming over to Southampton from Juventus. Is more of a ball carrier, kind of in the mold of Dembele. Don't think he's probably going to hold too much fantasy value, although I think it hurts your boy Romelu, who may not be able to get as forward as often as he did last season, which wasn't a ton. But he did it times.
Yeah, I think it hurts Stephen Davis more than Romeo.
Oh, I think he's replacing Stephen Davis.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think Romeo still has his place on the pitch, and at 4.5, he's still my 4.5, go-to dump. Though I did change him out of my team, but we'll get into that later. But Stephen Davis is definitely the guy on the gallows here when this trade does come of, or trade the transfer comes in and makes it official, and he's actually inserted into the official game roster. He'll probably be. Probably 5.0, I would say 5.5, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
He's. I don't think he's going to do enough offensively for the official game to care for his presence on your team.
Yeah, I think 5.5 is probably where he comes in. And while he doesn't help those other people further back in midfield, if the fourth manager here actually thinks Tadic should play more than 30 matches, he could benefit from this as well because he wouldn't be having to track back as much as Lamina could carry a lot of that responsibility, much as we saw Eriksen really blossom when Dembele is fit because he doesn't have to fulfill as much of that duty. All right, I know in the pre-show talk you said you don't want to talk about Davy Proper, so I'll just do it for you. To Brighton from PSV Eindhoven. 6 goals, 8 assists in 34 matches in the Eredivisie. You translate that, maybe that's 2-4, maybe.
Negative four.
negative goals and assists. I think this is largely supposed to be knock art cover. Just because we think he'll be fit for match week one. But, this is often an issue for these promoted clubs, is if you suffer one big injury, your season can basically be over, as can your stint in the Premier League. I think this is more of a emergency option more than a starting every week option. Although, he did play plenty of games for PSV, who are one of the better Dutch sides, so it's possible he carves out a role for himself. But for now, just kind of a wait and see. But yeah, I think this is more about making sure that they are injury-proof than truly improving their first 11 for now. Next up, we have Choupo-Moting coming from Schalke. He was on a free. Stoke signed him. I had weirdly seen a fair bit of him like 2 or 3 years ago when he was playing as a striker when Klaas-Jan Huntelaar was hurt. But apparently, I did not watch enough of him last season because he played a lot of matches on the left wing. Do you think it's possible he's the Arnautovic replacement since he can kind of play on the left and play as a second striker?
I mean, he could be. Looking at what Stoke has, on the midfield attack side, you basically have Shaqiri and a little bit of Ramadan Sobhi, And so he could easily insert himself there. You know, Affalay is still hurt. Bojan is dinged up already. You know, even striker-wise, there's nobody there that, you know, is going to run away and say, all right, he could play the wing. Berahino, Div. You know, Jiselu actually has been doing okay in preseason, so he may get some shine there in the first coming games. But, yeah, I think it's a wait-and-see for Chuopo Moting. He did play well enough that, you know, people do know his name. It's just that I think he's going to a Stoke squad that doesn't have enough integral parts around him to make him be a fantasy, you know, option, I guess.
Yeah. And now on to potential moves. First, we have Timothy Fosu-Mensah. Allegedly has already had a medical with Crystal Palace where he would join on loan. If that happened, I would love him, especially if he was 5.0 or cheaper. As I think he would play at right back, and considering Palace are instituting a back three, as a right wing back, he could have a lot of value very quickly and would be an ideal counter to Patrick Van Aanholt if you needed to, although it doesn't really seem like people are buying on Van Aanholt yet. But just one to keep an eye on. We all loved him back when he and Borthwick Jackson broke through under Van Gaal a couple years back, and just one to keep an eye on, especially because, as we said before, De Boer could really shore up that defense and all of a sudden make them a little bit more meaningful.
Yeah, and he's actually 4.5, which is actually
he's already in price. Right. Wow.
Yeah, he has a United price at 4.5. So it actually brings an interesting question. I've waxed poetic about enough guys. So I know you mentioned Patrick Van Aanholt there as probably, you know, the 1A Crystal Palace defender that everybody wants because they are more of
– And he's at 5.5, correct?
Yeah, he's at 5.5. Mm-hmm. He's more of an offensive weapon. So, I mean, are you looking at a Fosu-Mensah at 4.5 or are you looking on the opposite side at Riedewald at 5.0?
If this becomes official, he is going to be my 4.5 defender.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's currently Federico Fernandez, who, by the way, I said somewhere and got some stick for it. Look at Swansea's defensive record, like the last few matches, because they really stepped it up down the stretch to stay up. I don't love him, which is why I am immediately saying I'd take someone else. But there's a reason that people were going with Angel Rangel as their 4.0 Swansea defender, and why Fernandez has value, especially with his big dumb Spanish head.
The funny thing is that if you look at the 4.5 defenders, it's basically like a wasteland of like nothingness. I mean, there's names in there that you could possibly use, but there's nobody that you're actually like, yes.
There's no one you can be confident starting the season with.
Simone Francis, maybe.
Yeah, but everybody's going to have Smith or Daniels. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people. And then it's like, do you want two Bournemouth defenders?
Yeah, the only other guy that I've seen be getting a lot of love, and now that if the Fosu-Mensah trade goes through, is Alexander Arnold from Liverpool, because he's been getting a lot of burn in preseason. But I think that may be just a dump. But his ownership has gone up in a while, and I've seen a lot of it on people's templates and whatnot on the Twitter of the Twitter speak. But Fosu-Mensah in that 4.5 is an interesting candidate on not an awful defensive team, but you're not going to kill you. They're not going to be, I don't think they're going to be as bad as, say, like a any of the promoted teams, Brighton or Huddersfield.
Yeah.
So I mean, you could do worse than a possible Fosu-Mensah. He actually has to get to Crystal Palace first, and then he has to beat out Joel Ward. So it's the two things are, one's going to happen and one's probably going
to
happen.
Yeah, to be fair, I think day one he should start over Joel Ward. And obviously you have a familiarity with the Dutch system there, as you may notice, with Van Aanholt there, Riedewald there, and now likely Fosu-Mensah.
The only player, and I know he's not going to start over, is Van Aanholt or Dan. So
yeah. Man, I'm such a huge fan of the Scott Dan bounce back, but we'll just have to wait and see on that one.
I love Scott Dan.
All right, now the big potential one. Reports today that Coutinho could be heading to Barcelona. Now, when I say that, it's a lot like, not to ruffle any feathers here, global warming. There is currently one report saying a deal has been agreed against a vast sea of data and comments saying that he is not. That out of the way, what do you think the fantasy ramifications would be if Coutinho did in fact leave Liverpool this window?
Well, Coutinho's ownership would plummet. That I know for sure.
Yeah.
I think the love that would shift to Mane and Salah right now would skyrocket. That's definitely what would happen if it can go up anymore. Salah's at 20.4. Mane's at 18.4% ownership. I think that we would have to wait and see for another week or two to see if Liverpool makes a corresponding midfield move to replace him. And then that person may become an integral part of someone's team, depending on who it is, obviously. But I think that the shine would actually go to, you know, Salah or Mane. And I think Jorginho Wijnaldum would probably get a little bit more love at 7.0 as well.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big lover of Wijnaldum. The very interesting thing to me would be they would not bring in 100 million plus euro from that sale and not spend it. What would be interesting to me is they have a ready-made replacement there already, but they've just converted him to a striker this whole preseason.
Yeah.
Because it would be very easy to just push Firmino back, bring somebody in to compete with Sturridge when he's fit / Origi and try to improve that way and have Firmino be more of a creator, which, to be fair, is largely what he's doing while being labeled a striker anyway, is creating for his teammates by pulling the defenders around, by sitting a little bit further back and playing them forward, which is going to happen even more this season with the pace of Mane and Salah. Yeah.
It's an interesting waterfall of events that's going to happen, basically. If he does go, who else does Liverpool bring in, and what kind of star power do they bring, you know, fantasy wise?
Yeah, I don't know, but it's definitely one to keep an eye on. Again, I personally do not think that it will happen. I don't think Liverpool need to sell him. I think this could be kind of like the Alexis situation, where they end up just saying it's too late in the window. We're keeping him this year. Next year he can go. But anyway, it's worth discussing. As I say, there is one report saying that it has happened, with some saying it might happen, but the majority saying it has not, and then some more saying it will not.
Let's put it this way. I think the first place they invest money in is they up their bid for Virgil van Dijk, and he's with Liverpool probably by the third game week.
Yeah.
If it goes through.
Although, worth noting on van Dijk, if that move did go through tomorrow, which we're not saying it will, the van Dijk one, he has not been in full training or played in preseason matches and has been hurt since, what, January?
Yeah. I mean, so, he missed the last, 14 games of the season, I think?
Yeah, so it would be exciting if that move happened, but not in real life, but in fantasy, hold off for a little bit. Wait to see him actually start. Wait to make sure he has his legs back. Wait to see how this Liverpool defense is starting to look before going crazy on that, if and when that happens.
He lost his legs, dude. How's he going to play soccer ever again?
I don't know, man. Wheelchair?
Did he label him left and right?
Sorry, what?
You think? Did he label his legs left and right so he knows which one goes on which?
Oh, like NFL kickers still do?
Yeah, like left and right.
That's one of my favorite things. That I assume you remember Jeff Reed.
Yep.
For the Steelers, they had the one black shoe, the one white shoe, and they asked him why. He said, "So I know which one to kick with." You're like, "Yo, dog, that is your literal job. I'm gonna need you to know." That'd be like if me and Rob as writers had to have like a certain glove on our left hand to remember, oh, this is my left hand.
Don't write with the one with the glove on.
You're like coming over to the letter P with your left hand. Like, what are you doing? That's a weird keyboard joke if you're at a keyboard tryout. All right, we are going to take a quick break and then come back and do the second half alphabetically of the league that we said we would do like 2 weeks ago. So stay tuned for that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com. I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, and we are back. As I said, we're going to cover letters M through W here for the second half of a segment we started, like I said, I think 2 weeks ago. So in this, we're doing overrated and underrated at each club. I'll start with Manchester City. I am surprised by how many people are buying in on Vincent Kompany. Now, that having been said, he scored 3 goals and had 4 clean sheets in the last 7 matches of the season. So he got a tally just about every week once he came back from injury. But I really want to see more, and he's a huge injury risk, and he's not cheap. So I'd be a little bit more shy before bringing in Vincent Kompany. The player that's somehow underrated is Sergio Aguero. His stats have been rising ownership-wise. But I'm sure you remember, like, back when we started doing this, Jesus was almost twice as owned. Mm-hmm. And it was like, what? Do you guys remember Sergio Aguero, who's been in the top 5 goal scorers every year he's ever been in the Premier League? So anyway, not that Aguero is unrated, but he is still underrated, I think, in this Manchester City team. Because Aguero, De Bruyne, probably Silva, and Kompany when he's fit are probably the only 4 players that actually have guaranteed their starting spots.
Yeah, I agree.
Every other piece could like shift around to be crazy. So I'm dressed in Aguero, and we'll get to my team in a little bit, but I keep waffling on whether or not to have him in myself this week, based on price.
I think Mendy has a spot there. Pretty sure though.
You do? Because Danilo's been the one playing there.
Yeah, I think it's just
I think Mendy had an injury though, and it did come in late.
I think Mendy's been dinged, so.
Yeah. And you would assume Walker's fine, but we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. So Rob, coming to you now, talking to us a little bit about Manchester United. They lose the Copa today against Real Madrid. No big surprise there, although they did do it without Ronaldo, which is a little terrifying for world football. Doesn't really impact us here much on the show. But which United players do you think are a little over and a little underrated?
A little overrated. I mean, is it possible that you can't really say that? Romelu Lukaku is overrated, overrated here. You know, based on his ownership right now at 48.6% of the 2.7 million players playing this game currently, that is an awful lot of trust. And he just scored his first goal today. So congratulations. Maybe this means that he's on a streak and he'll carry it over because he does like to go on little streaks where he doesn't do anything and drive us friggin' batty. So I don't know if he's overrated or underrated, so I'm going to say him as the overrated guy because everybody's owning him. There's not much differential there, so that'll lead into my overrated. For my underrated?
I don't mean to cut you off, but I have a very important question that's been floating around a lot, which is the idea of being forced to own him. Because
you're kind of now, yes.
Right, because his ownership is so high that if you don't have him and he scores a goal, you're literally in the lower 50th percentiles.
Yep.
So
you're already
chasing
50%.
Right. So where's your faith level? Have you brought him in?
I have him on my team. I've had him in my team since probably draft 1 of 651.
Is it because of that reason?
It's exactly why. Because his ownership is so high right now that everybody who knows what they're sort of doing in this and not just guessing have him in their squads. It's not like everybody I've seen that's been loading up on forwards. He's been one of the three. It's been Lukaku, Kane, Aguero, Lukaku, Kane, Firmino, Lukaku, Kane, Benteke, whatever three they have at top. He's always in there. He's not left out. And people are going, oh, you know what? It's Kane, Aguero, and Firmino for me. But he's always included in the triumvirate up top. So, yeah, like you said, if you don't roster him, you're basically chasing 50% of what's going on in the FPL universe right now. So it's almost a damned if you do. He's the damned if you do, damned if you don't player right now.
Yeah, sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt you there. Who do you think is underrated?
No, it's okay. It's okay. And underrated, I'm going to go with anybody who consistently gets defender minutes for United. They don't have one defender owned in the top 20 of defenses. I know their prices are a little high because they are United. And I know there's a little question mark of who's gonna play. Is it going to be Lindelof? Is it going to be Bailly? Is it going to be Valencia? Is it going to be Blind? You know, is it going to be Darmian the first week? Nobody actually knows who's going to be the starting, you know, the back four for them. So I think that's probably why people are under-owning them, and that's why I'm pointing my eye at them. And I own Eric Bailly currently. He's owned in 9.6. He's their most owned player at 6.0. United is going to be one of the better defensive units. They're going to finish no lower than fourth, I would say. And the top three you could probably put in – one through four you could probably put in any order. And me and Kevin would probably be like, yeah, that's probably about right. So, you know, anybody defensively for Man United I think is being underutilized right now. But it's just because we don't know what the unknown is of what, you know, Jose is going to do.
Yeah, all fair points. For me, talking a little bit about Newcastle here, Dwight Gayle is the currently second highest owned Newcastle player behind only Rob Elliott, who is there just because he's a 4.0 goalkeeper that you can punt with. Starting to get less and less convinced by him. We've seen Mitrovic look good in preseason matches. We've seen Ayoze Perez play well in preseason matches. And they're probably still going to bring in another striker this window. So my Dwight Gayle hype has decreased significantly since the game originally launched. And I thought he looked a value after scoring, I think it was 24 goals in the championship last season. The person I think is underrated, you said you knew who it was. So who is it?
Oh, for Newcastle? Ooh. I'm going to say it's not a defender. There's no way it's a defender. Not. Yeah, I was going to say Ayoze Perez.
I do like Ayoze Perez in real life, but in fantasy, I'm looking at Christian Atsu, who
there
has played.
Go. He was going to be my second choice.
Yeah, he started five of Newcastle's six friendlies. He has, I think it's two goals and three assists in those matches, and had a lot more where either Mitrovic headed it wide, Perez kicked it wide, or at the keeper. There have been a lot of opportunities that he's created. And heading into match week one, he's 5.0. He's facing a Kieran Trippier-less Tottenham, who will either be playing Kyle Walker-Peters, who Poch has straight up said shouldn't get the opportunity because he's too young. He's not ready for that stage. Or Eric Dier, who does not have the pace. Does have the strength, obviously, but the positioning and pace are not there. This could be the Diet Coke version of the Mane Davis matchup last season, where it was, even though it was up against a good Tottenham defense, there was one clear one-on-one matchup that looked terrifying. And we had a Newcastle guy on at the weekend, and he was talking about how Atsu could definitely have a field day up against a quote-unquote right backless Tottenham. And I'm buying it. And at 5.0, he's on a crazy, crazy low ownership, 2.4%. I guess it isn't that crazy in the context of Newcastle because they don't have really anyone worth owning. But at 5.0, yeah. I think he's really interesting, and I'm very, very upset because I started writing an article on him, and then on the front page of the fantasy game today, there was something on him. But Christian Atsu at 5.0 saves you money. I'm just keeping that money, by the way. We'll get to my team later, but it's just in my bank. I haven't spent it yet. But it was down to Atsu or Townsend for me for week one. And if he does well in this situation week one, I may just hold on to him.
Yeah. I mean, he's never really going to play for you. So it's not really like a dire situation where you're like, oh, I got to play a 5.0 Christian Atsu. So, I mean, it's not a bad shout.
Yeah. Well, he'd be in a rotation with Carroll and J-Rod.
Yeah. And I like Tom Carroll this year.
Yeah. I think he plays every match, especially if they lose Siggy. He still might, even if they 4.5. Don't. Yeah. All right. So for you, we already talked about Southampton a little bit there with Lamina, but who are you looking at?
Overrated. It's the guy who disappoints more than anybody down the stretch last year. It's Gabbiadini.
The Gabbiadini.
For anybody who knows Italian, his last name translates into the cage you know, like the bird cage you know. He's overowned. I don't like him. 5.6. 7.0 is his price. Listen, there's probably a lot of better options than a striker you should be going with. Everyone's basically loading up on strikers and then cheaping out somewhere else. Don't cheap out on Gabbiadini at 7.0. I'm not saying he's going to disappoint, but he's going to be like 2 hours late picking you up to the prom is basically what's going to happen.
Would you rather have Chicharito and or Iheanacho?
I'd rather have Iheanacho 100% over Gabby Dean. I'd rather roll the dice that Iheanacho does something and it's a feel-good story than be let down by Gabby Dean and Southampton scoring again. Atrocities. Yeah. So, yeah, under the under-owned, how about Jack Stevens getting no love at 5.0? Yeah. With all this Virgil van Dijk news, you know, he's not going to play week one. Jack Stevens owned in 0.5% of leagues right now. We saw what he could do last year at the end of the season after Van Dijk went down, and he proved to be, you know, a useful player in the Premier League. So at 5.0, you know, he's basically your third defender, maybe your fourth, depending on how you're, you know, allocating your funds. But Jack Stevens is a viable, you know, central defender for Southampton, and I think he could do good things based on his price right now. So yeah, on to you, Kevin.
Yeah.
I like how you set it up so you have Spurs.
I actually do still have Spurs, but I have Stoke next because I don't write Spurs. I write Tottenham because I'm not a dumb. I'm not accusing you. I'm accusing the official game and FIFA, who both have Tottenham listed as Spurs. But I did want to touch on Southampton, and it does relate to Tottenham, which is some little whispers. We've talked about this in the past that it might happen, but some whispers that an agreement is there. Between Tottenham and Southampton, that if Van Dijk left, they could get Wimmer on a one-year loan. And I think he's at 4.5 at the moment, and that would also be a really interesting option for their defense if all of that happened. But again,
yeah,
all of it has to happen.
It's a waterfall. Don't go chasing waterfalls.
It, as the hit song states. Yeah, so I'm actually going to do Stoke next, unfortunately. The person that I think is overrated right now is Joe Allen. Too many people trying to capture the glory days of last year, which, by the way, was only over like an 8-week stretch. Yet somehow people are coming away with it thinking he was amazing the whole year. The underrated, you already mentioned him, and I'm a bit surprised, and I agree it's because of his 5.5 price tag. But Kurt Zuma is very good. Now has Butland behind him. Peters has always been solid. If they bring in Bruno Martins-Indy to pair with him, that will be one of the more athletic pairings of center backs in the entirety of the Premier League. They play fairly defensively. They have good defensive options in front of them at times when Jeff Cameron is up there. Not so much when Gianelli Mbula, who was supposed to be an incredible talent, just kind of hasn't done anything of note. Obviously, Joe Allen wants to get forward a bit more, but I think this could be a really sneaky defense. And even at 5-5, I think there's going to be value there. To you now. Talking about Swansea, we already talked about Tommy Carroll. Is he one of your guys?
Absolutely. Tommy Carroll is the under-owned guy. I don't even care how much he's owned right now. He's owned in only 5.5% of leagues. At 4.5, he is your midfield dump that isn't going to take a dump on you, basically. You know, last season, 1,400 minutes, 52 points, two assists and a goal. Listen, he's a young kid. He's coming into his own. Swansea are basically building around him in the midfield because I think Sigurdsson is – I don't know how long he's going to be there, but Carroll's going to be there for a while. They have a lot of athletic parts around him. Leroy Fer is just always lying in the weeds somewhere looking like he – like he looks awesome half the time, and the other time half, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yep.
But, you know, they have parts up top that can actually do something. Tammy Abraham, you know, Jordan Ayew is still up. Yep.
And I like the Narsing signing last year, but he, like Fer, yeah, looks good about one every three matches.
Yeah, and for under well, that was underrated. Tom Carroll's underrated. Overrated. I mean, do they really have one? I mean, is anybody? Nobody's really buying Sigurdsson at 8.5 on a Swansea team that really doesn't have many parts.
Yeah, maybe only Llorente just because he's hurt.
Yeah, that's probably the only one that I maybe look at that's probably being.
Oh, he's at 0.3% now.
Yeah, yeah, he's not very much owned. Maybe not. I'll incorporate this into it. When Gylfi Sigurdsson, you know, figures out where
he wants
Rongo
to play or where's at 21.6%.
Oh, there you go. There's the 4.0 defender that everybody's buying into, 21.6. Rongo's not going to play every game. So you're basically dumping on a zero. So I mean, if you want to go the $4 Chuck way, there's a couple guys that are vying for starts. You know, Long still looks like he's starting for Burnley.
Yeah, you swayed me on Kevin Long.
Yeah. So I mean, I know Rongo is probably the most recognizable name that's there because there's a lot of promoted defenders. And we, like I said before, and I'm going to say it again, we won't know defensively what is going on with a lot of teams until you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, when the games go off, and we'll be like, okay, well, now this guy's playing, so he's an option. So ownership and defenders, especially the cheap ones, the 4.0, 4.5 guys that actually do something in the first week, are probably going to be the one of the most transferred in players for week 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. Now on to Tottenham.
Fixed it, so you got it.
I did. It somehow still worked out. The one I'm really surprised by right now is Toby Alderweireld. Just because he was not the target for set pieces during last year the way he was in his first year in the Premier League. That started being more Eric Dier, and then obviously Harry Kane started taking on more of that attacking role inside the box on set pieces. Doesn't really offer much else. He does play a lot of long balls, but those are out wide to the person that's going to get the assist. No Trippier to start week one. Hurts. Still no Danny Rose, so the clean sheets aren't as guaranteed as you may like. That second week matchup against Chelsea isn't exactly a dream. The last time Tottenham went up to Newcastle, which was the end of two seasons ago, got lit up by that attack. So I'm not feeling the Alderweireld love. And then obviously Trippier and Rose you can't own because they're still hurt. Maybe Ben Davis at 5-5 if you're looking for a placeholder for Trippier till he gets back. But I'm really not in love with this Spurs defense right now, and it feels like a lot of people are, since Vertonghen is 1.1 off of three players being 10 plus owned, 10 plus percent. So not a huge fan of that. My underrated is Christian Eriksen. I was talking to Rob before the show started, or maybe it was on the show. I don't actually remember. But if Eriksen was 0.5 cheaper than Ali, he'd be the one in my team right now. He's the one that has looked the best in all of the preseason matches. That's not even talking about the ridiculous screamer he scored against PSG. But I'm talking more about he seems closer to mid-season form, both mentally and physically. What he's been doing is much closer to his game than Dele Alli has been to his. And I totally get the goal upside of Dele Alli. That's why he's literally in my team right now in almost every format. But Eriksen is looking very, very good. And he had, I think it was 8 goals, 20 assists last season, which was the second highest assists behind only Kevin De Bruyne. And just because Alli has value does not mean that Eriksen does not. And I feel like a lot of people are going way overcompensating one direction. And the fact that Eriksen is less than half is owned, 14.6 to 37.9, I think is a lot. Also, never mind. I'll bring that up in a little bit. all right, coming to you now to talk to us about Watford. Kapu was everybody's childhood sweetheart last year. Is he in here?
Yeah, he's overrated right now. He's owned in 8.1% of leagues. I don't know if that's because of price or because people just like looking at scores. But you know what a lot of that percentage is owned by? If you do, you know, auto pick, he's one of the if you do it all the time, he's usually one of the first guys that I've always seen that he's always incorporated into the team, because I think it takes into matter the price and what they did last year and score, and he scored pretty well for, you know, what he did. At 8.1 percentage, I'm not even coming close to it. I don't trust Watford to do much this year. They just don't have the tools to be consistently offensive. You know, we both like Roberto Pereira. Troy Deeney's going to miss the first week. They really don't have a striker there. Stefano Okaka is not the 38-game striker that you want to
come close to. He's not the droid you're looking for.
Yeah, these are not the droids. I'm waving my hand. These are not the droids. But, yeah. And for underrated, do I have to? I'll go with Roberto Pereira. I mean, if he wasn't if Roberto Pereira was 5.0, he'd be the most owned percentage wise Watford player.
Yeah.
Period.
For
but
sure.
He's not. He's 6.0.
Yeah, which puts him in that Townsend, Phillips, Chadley.
Yeah, there's better guys with better names on better scoring teams. Watford is going to struggle to put the ball in the net this year. It's the unfortunate thing. They have a lot of parts that do well. I just don't see how well those parts are going to do together. But that's why they brought in Marco Silva, because he does magic with things like that. So maybe they could surprise. Defensively, you know, that's where that's his, you know, his foray.
Yeah.
You know, they want to, you know, so, but, you know, you want to have the hack job Holobas or Jonas Kobel or Proto. There's no value there. There's nothing that, because their schedule at the beginning of the year is not something that's, you know, conducive to buy into early.
Yeah. Yamat would be the one I keep an eye on, but not to start the season. Yeah. Also, I think you make a really interesting point with Watford doing a lot with not much, because I think that's pretty much the exact converse of West Ham, who always seem to have the individuals but don't get the results they should.
But if you look at what Marco Silva did last year, this Watford team is not much different than what he had with
Hull. That's true. Maybe just the touch up at the talent levels, but
maybe they just have guys who are a little bit more experienced at the top level. You know, Deeney's a proven striker if he stays healthy. Yep. But they didn't have that last year because Abel Hernandez couldn't stay healthy, and
Couldn't, which was a dang shame. I still back him, although less than I did like 3 years ago when I said he was going to be a superstar. But there you go.
I know I'm going to tone a tangent here, but the championship show, have they predicted who's going to lead the league in goals there?
They did. One guy said it should be Wolves. It was actually the title, is that they are the Manchester City of the championship right now because of all their...
I read that as well, yeah.
Yeah, just because they're making all those Raiola signings. And the previous week it was discussed as well. If you want to entertain the people for like a second, I can look it up.
No, it's okay. We could talk about it later.
Oh, well, that's awkward.
I don't have patience for you, Kevin. You should have these details.
I should have this already up and... Oh, come on, really? I thought I was going to be able to be sneaky and get it up here. Oh, Sheffield Wednesday.
There you go.
The other one that people said could be up there. For West Brom, I think the over-owned is Gareth McCauley. He's 38, man.
Yeah,
he scored six goals.
I got into a nice argument last. Somebody was trying to say that Gareth McCauley was like a pillar of fantasy usefulness, and they were trying to use his stats from last year as a going off point. I'm like, the dude's 38 years old. You're using a 38 year old to put an argument in over defenders? No, absolutely not. Continue, Ken. Sorry.
Last season, Gareth McCauley, 6 goals. The previous 5 seasons combined, 7 goals.
Mm.
Oh, that's not true. 9 goals. Sorry. But still, that's 2/3 of his career total in one season. Probably not repeatable. That's all I'm saying. Is 5.0 tempting? Yes, because they have a very nice starting run of fixtures, but please no. Then in underrated, I think there are a lot of players that are underrated. J-Rod at just 3.2% has looked very good for them. Looks like he's going to be in a front two probably with Rondon. My only concern is if he had to play on the left wing, maybe Chadley in the middle, Phillips on the right, which in real life is probably the way to get all of their best players on the pitch. But for fantasy, would have hurt his value. It looks like he will be up front, which is important. Phillips, I think, might be a little on the overrated side because as much as you and I like him, I went to go write an article about why he should be must-owned because of his low price in both this format and in the goal format. Mm-hmm. And, man, the underlying stats just did not say he should have had that many assists.
Nope.
Which is a little concerning. Obviously, West Brom, you have to be a little bit more tentative with your stats work because they play very uniquely in that they kind of aim for set piece goals, which no other team can rely on. And since he's the one taking them, it makes sense that things would be a little askew. But Nasser Chadley's stats lined much more with his performances, which could have been better. I think he scored his first two goals in his first two matches and then like didn't for a real long time after that. But it looks like there's improvement there based on Chadley's underlying numbers, and it looks like there's regression underneath Phillips' numbers. So anyway, there are actually a lot of West Brom people I'm interested in, but just worth mentioning those. Also, I have Ben Foster in my team right now, but this is, as Rob and I said often last season, one of those do as I say, not as I do things. If you have the 0.5, or even if you don't and you can make the 0.5, upgrade to Forster, who was much better last season. Ben Foster really struggling for clean sheets the past two seasons. The last two seasons combined, he had 10. The previous year, he had 11. Yeah. They're just not coming West Brom's way. They're keeping scores low, but you don't get points for that unless you're in DFS. But that's a different situation.
That'll be tomorrow's episode.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. But yeah, so it's on to me for West Ham, I believe. I'm finishing up.
Wrap it up for us.
Overrated. Basically, from what I've seen in the preseason, I hate Robert Snodgrass's guts. He looks pooey. Is the best expert opinion I can give you. He's six. Price is 6.0. Owned in 6.6% of leagues, which is the second highest West Ham player. I'm not seeing much for him that leads me to believe that he's going to be any kind of fantasy asset. He really hasn't been a fantasy asset since he basically came to the Hammers. Unfortunately, there's a lot of exclamation points for the first week with West Ham midfielders. So, yeah, Antonio and Kouyaté are definitely out. Fuguli's hurt. Lanzini and Arnautovic are both dinged up now. So Snodgrass may have to play just because they don't have enough soldiers to go to war with. But I'm not buying into it. I didn't like what I saw towards the end of the season when he transferred over. And at his 6.0 price tag, he falls into that Andres Townsend, that break point, Matt Phillips, that you may have trust in somebody else. And I think that those probably guys are probably a little bit better. But I do like West Ham's tools around him. I love Lanzini. I love Arnautovic when they're healthy. I think Chicharito is going to score some goals. I think Andy Carroll, when he can actually stop doing two practices a day and get on the field for a whole day, will do some good stuff. But I'm not buying either of those guys. But I'm just saying, Robert Snodgrass is not a guy that you want on your fantasy team. Under-owned guy, I'm banking on a defensive bounce back for Aaron Cresswell. I think what we saw last year was not completely him. I think he was injured a lot of the year and got worn down by the pace of things. So at 5.0, West Ham is not the best defensive metric team, and they start off with United, Southampton, Newcastle. So, I mean, maybe after the first week, you may be buying into a hammer defender. And at 5.0, that's basically the entry point because nobody's really buying Angelo Ogbonna at 4.5 or, James Collins or Sam Byram or Arthur Masuaku. Cresswell is probably one of the only defenders I would own there. I don't buy the Paulo Zabaleta love or the Jose Font love. Those guys look awful on paper and on the pitch in real life and in fantasy. So Cresswell's a guy I'm keeping an eye on. If I have a watch list and he's on it, so Aaron Cresswell could do a bounce back. He did good things 2 years ago, and I'm expecting something decent this year. Not awesome, but something decent.
Yeah. All right, then we have one more thing to get to before we go through our teams, and that is players that we think you should keep an eye on in case they price rise early on. So basically, players with high upside, current low ownerships that could really spike. For me, up front, I think it's Josh King. Mm-hmm. Just because their first two fixtures, West Brom, Watford, not the most difficult. You don't love playing West Brom away. I mean, let's just keep that clear. But if Josh King scores in either of those matches, people will way overreact and feel like they've missed out. Because right now, everybody's leaning Defoe. Hold on, let me actually check that stat to make sure that's true. But it feels that way. Yeah, Defoe almost twice his own, 10.4 to 5.8. And even if King is starting on the wing, which he may be, or he may be in a front two, although a front two of King and Defoe is very similar players, and King might not be on penalties. But if he scores in the first 2 weeks, I think he will at least double, if not triple, his ownership. Just because people will be worried that they'll miss the ride again this year, like a lot of people did last year, where they waited 0.3 or even 0.4 before bringing him in. In midfield, for me, I said I'd mention this at the end of the show, and it's a sneaky one, and this is not based on anything other than knowing that Son has a fitness test this week. But if Heung-min Son passes late fitness and scores, or assists, really, either way, while everybody is having the Ali-Erickson debate, there is no one else that can play that position right now. Tottenham can't play three at the back because of other injuries, which is the only way he loses his spot. And it's not because he isn't the one that holds that spot. It's because that spot doesn't exist when we play three at the back. But if he does something early, he scored 20 goals in all competitions last season. Yeah. And I feel like if he gets a clean bill of health and starts and does anything of note, another player that could just skyrocket as everybody's tripping over themselves to get Toby, which I mentioned earlier, Kane, Lloris, Eriksen, Ali. There are a lot of Spurs players to look at. And if Son can launch himself back into that conversation at a much lower price point, that could be very tempting for a lot of people as well. In defense, I want to go Adam Smith, but I don't want to go too many Bournemouth options. So I'm going to go with Kieran Trippier. And it's just because there's going to be this springing where he got up to 15% owned. Now he's on his way back down because of the injury. But it's only looking like it's going to be a couple of weeks. So then, all of a sudden, he may have already gone down in case not enough people get him out before the game launches, which is on Friday, by the way, in case we didn't mention. So then, once game starts, once he gets back, he'll probably rise very quickly, as I think not many people would argue that he's a top five fantasy player this year in defense because of his attacking prowess. I'm not going to talk about goalkeepers because they don't matter. So, Rob, which players do you think could see really big spikes in ownership once the game gets going?
For forwards, I think it's going to be the guy, and I know he's already owned in 36.8% of leagues, and it's Harry Kane, because if he scores one time in August, all his naysayers saying that he can't score in August are going to buy back into him. And at 12.5, that's going to go up really, really fast. So at 12.5, he's going to be 12.7 probably right after the Chelsea game, because people are going to buy back in after that game because they have Burnley, Everton, Swansea, West Ham. So there's three out of four of the next five, games are attainable for glory there. I know it's out of August by then, but we're still talking that he's going to rise. So if he scores in the first two games, if he manages to get a goal against Chelsea, people are going to be completely buying into to the love there. In midfield, the one guy I keep always going to, and it's based on how well Crystal Palace can jump out of the gate and how well he does in those games. They have Huddersfield, Liverpool, Swansea, Burnley, Southampton in the first five. It's Wilfred Zaha. I know he's owned in 23.6% of leagues. At 7.0, basically he's being owned a lot because he's a price dump and B has a potential to be more than he was last year. He was pretty okay last year. He wasn't great, but he was okay. 7 goals, 11 assists. Those numbers can jump up. And he has games where he can take control of what he does on the wing and be, a fantasy asset for those first three weeks. And on defense, the defenders are tough because it's all a clean sheet or bust kind of thing. But I'm looking at guys like way down the list that are owned percentage wise, and everybody has a love fest for said Kolisinac. Yeah. I don't even know how to say it. So
Kolisinac, did it against Chelsea. Maybe
Kolisinac. Yeah, sure. The guy from Arsenal that you can't really say. That's the guy I'm going with. We saw what he did against Chelsea. He's a big-shouldered guy. He basically reminds me of anybody who could win the ball defensively from, a center-back position. And Arsenal needs that stability. And Per Mertesacker is not the guy. So Kolisinac is going to be that guy. Owned in 9.5, Arsenal's fixtures to begin the year, Leicester, Stoke, Liverpool, Bournemouth. Then it goes to Chelsea. If Arsenal gets one or two clean sheets in the first couple of games, people are going to be buying and committing to an Arsenal defender. And I don't think the Hector Bellerin love is going to translate there, because I don't think he's going to do much. If he gets a goal in those first couple games, which he has the propensity to do in other leagues, people are going to be like, well,
and
this
did
guy
in
looks
the
good.
Community Shield.
Yeah, exactly. People are going to buy into this because everybody likes having a defender and coverage from a top 4, 5, 6 team, and Arsenal is one of those teams. So that guy completely falls into, that metric.
Yeah. All right, and then we are going to wrap up with our teams. For me, let me click off the transfer page. Doop 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 doop. What have I done here?
What have I done?
Well, it's loading at the moment. All right, so at the back, as I said, I have Ben Foster. I very much want it to be Fraser Forster. But A, it's difficult for me to find the 0.5 right now, and I'll get to that in a second. But also, I have Cedric and Bertrand in right now. Switched to Bertrand as soon as I heard the Trippier injury. Because he's a similar price point, would be easy to switch back, and Southampton have an incredibly easy start to the season. So those two are paired with Adam Smith, who's up against West Brom. Then across the midfield, Kevin De Bruyne against Brighton, Dele Alli, Sadio Mane, and Christianatsu, who I mentioned I really like for his differential play. Could have had him or Townsend. And like I said, saving that 1.0, waiting to see what happens with this Crystal Palace team. I agree with you on Zaha. Both of us like Benteke as a theory. Want to see it. But yeah, so I've just gone for Atsu as the cheaper option there. Then up front, Harry Kane, J-Rod, and Roberto Firmino, who I think could have a very big day against the Watford defense that we just mentioned.
Yeah, it's not good.
Not very encouraging. The amount of threes, fours, and fives that defense put up last season was... Mm-hmm. I'm sure deeply depressing for Hornets fans there. Not sure on my captain yet. Currently have it on Mane. Could put it on Kane. Also, Kane could become Aguero in my team. But as I was mentioning to Rob before we started recording, I think it's important to have either one of Kane or Alexis in your team to make sure you can get back up to that price point. And with Alexis looking like he may miss week one, that just pushed me a little harder on the Kane thing. Plus, he's had a good preseason and his first offseason since he's been a starter for Tottenham. There are enough reasons to think about it. But like I said, it could be Aguero. I've missed on Aguero before, and that is not a feeling I would like to duplicate. And as you said, after the Chelsea match will be an easy return point for Kane. So if you're listening to this team, you're like, that team should probably be a little bit better. That is because I have 2.0 still in the bank. And the reason I'm not using 0.5 of that to upgrade Foster is because I could upgrade De Bruyne to Alexis, assuming that Alexis stays, which at this point it very much looks like he will. And so if he comes back for Arsenal and if he comes back fit in 2 or 3 weeks, the ability to upgrade to Alexis while already having Kane in the team, I think is a very clever, if I say so myself, way around that. But if he doesn't, I have 2.0 to spend in my squad. I could upgrade Atsu to a Zaha or anyone else in that 7.0 range. I could upgrade a J-Rod to that Benteke range. I could upgrade any of my defenders to the elite range. I could upgrade Foster to any of the goalkeepers at actually good teams. And so I really like having that money to play with, because as much as we've talked about matchups this week, we've also talked about season-long stuff, and it's an important balance. So I think Atsu could have a good first week. If he doesn't, I can upgrade from him. If he doesn't, I could just play Carroll next week instead and see what happens there. And having that flexibility to start the year, I think, is very important. So that's why I've gone with that strategy for now.
Yeah, I like your team. It's got some money in the bank, which is always good. I always tell people to do that. I don't have any currently because on my draft that I'm at right now, I'm at zeros across the board. In goal, I have Ben Foster and Wayne Hennessy. They both have decent matchups the first week. They both have okay matchups. That Foster plays Bournemouth and Hennessy plays Huddersfield, so it's probably going to be Wayne Hennessy for the first game. On defense, I have Nathan Ake because they play West Brom. Ryan Bertrand. I have Ben Davies in my team right now and Eric Bailly. I went to Davies after the Trippier injury because I wanted some kind of Spurs coverage. I had Alderweireld in there first, but like Kevin said, I don't like him that he's not involved in set pieces that much anymore. So I'm going to have I'll have a differential maybe in Davies if he plays. And then my fifth defender is Long from Burnley. He's my $4 chuck. He's being utilized that way. A lot of people are buying into that. He's owned in 2.8% and people don't even know who he is. So that's probably a good thing. Through the midfield, Paul Pogba, Ali, De Bruyne hasn't changed my starting midfield with Carroll. And I did make one change on my bench. I brought in Ramadan Sobhi as my fifth midfielder. I'm intrigued. I've liked what I've seen in the preseason from him. I'm not expecting much from Stoke, so I'm not expecting much from him. 5.0 and his ownership is basically nil, which is 0.8%. Could go wrong. Could go completely backwards. I don't care. It's a 5.0. He's never going to play. He's not going to be rotate with my fourth or fifth. My fourth, he wouldn't be better than my fourth defender. So I don't think he would play. And he's not better than Carroll in my eye, especially in this game. And then forward-wise, I haven't changed. I still have Benteke, Firmino, and Lukaku. I agree wholeheartedly with Firmino. I think Firmino's going to have a big game against Watford. He currently has my captain, and that's on purpose because I think that he does have a big game against them. Lukaku, we mentioned it before. He's a damned if you do, damned if you don't option. He's basically what Aguero is usually every year right now because of his ownership. And it sucks not having Aguero in a team or not looking to even have him as an option because we know what he can do. We know what he's capable of. And we know what City are probably going to do to Brighton the first game. It's probably not going to be very pretty. But at least I have De Bruyne there to cover that. So that's my team right now. I'm okay with it, right? I'm probably going to change 2 or 3 more times, but this is the fall in love factor on a Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, I'm pretty cozy with mine. Fernandez is the one question mark for me. If any of those 4.5s happen before then, that would be my main change. But I do like your team as well, and wish. I'm really playing with fire here with the no Lukaku thing. And I don't have any firm reason why it won't work is the thing that's terrifying to me. But Man, we'll see. We'll see if I have a change of heart at the last minute, which again is Thursday, not Friday. Don't leave that till Friday. And on that last reminder / warning, we are done for the day. So Rob, why don't you tell the folks where they can find you?
You can find me on Twitter at FPL_MNOP. And you can find my writings and stylings on Razzball.com.
Yeah, and I'm your other host, Kevin DeVries, at Kevroff on Twitter, host of the EPL Roundtable. We also have a championship roundtable that is out on this very same channel. Tomorrow, as we mentioned at the top of the show, we will be recording a Fan Tracks show that's all about DFS. We may also be doing a DFS video for VIPBet.com. Still waiting to get final confirmation on that. Also, Rob has infinite stuff up at Razzball right now. I've written, I think it's 8 to 10 articles in the last week for Goal. So go check all of those out. Although it is about the Goal game specifically. A lot of the same, information is there. So yeah, go check all that out. Again, he's at FPL_MNOP. I am at Kevroff on Twitter. Check us out. Hopefully you have a delightful first weekend of FPL action, and we'll catch you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.